then we might just take up the history as we've now seen it, which is not history because, as far as Sarah is concerned, she's involved in a tremendous experience, because God has said to her in the chapters we just looked at, he said to her that you're going to have a child, and you're going to have a child about this time next year. And as you know, this caused such merriment in Abram's heart and such laughter within Sarah that the angel reproved her. And it was following that reproof that this strange incident of the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah took place. It's such a contrast, the one to the other, the joy coming to the family of Abraham and the sorrow coming to the family of Lot, who'd pitched himself in the wrong place. And by the time we read of him in that chapter, he's sitting right in the city. He's lost his tent. He's no longer a pilgrim. He's dwelling in a house in Sodom. And that was a very serious matter. Although he tried to keep himself utterly unstained from all that was about him, let's remember that he lost his wife and part of his family by his folly. That's a very terrible thing to do. And we must take hold of that, each of us, in all kinds of ways. The young man who drives his car carelessly with his girl beside him, he might be saved, and she lost by his folly. It's so easy, it happens in just a second, just a split second, that's all. And the people who pass by see nothing but a shattered windscreen and say, oh, somebody must have come through it. Just a second, that's all. And Lot probably never thought as he gradually progressed into the city and got into their confidences. And Abraham, he didn't know that Lot had been spared right away. If you look at the record, it isn't revealed. It says that God remembered Abraham, but it doesn't say he told him. Not right away. It was a terrible day when there came down this great fire from heaven. And let's take up then the 20th chapter of Genesis, where Abraham himself now gets on the move because, well, let's see why. The 20th chapter of Genesis. Abraham's going south now. He's leaving Hebron. You see, there it is in the first verse. And Abraham journeyed from thence, which is Mamre, which is Hebron, as Brother Norman has told us. And he went down to Kadesh, or between Kadesh and Shur. Kadesh was the place from which they finally came into the land. It's mentioned in the first chapter of Deuteronomy. And Abram's a bit shaky on his legs again. I mean, his legs of faith. He's further south and the people are not friendly. The natives are hostile, as they say. Well, it's all right our thinking, well, you can't understand how a man can do this the second time. He went and told Pharaoh that Abram was his sister. Now he tells Abimelech that Abram is his sister. And you can't understand that a man can commit the same sin twice. Are you telling me that? What you can't understand is that Abraham did it. That's the point. He's so remarkable a character, isn't he? You've only got to look at Harry Tennant or whatever the name is on your label, and you'll know very well. Right? Disappeared. You'll know very well who it is. This anonymous person who commits sins, the same sin twice, eh? But there's something very interesting about this record. You know, there are interesting things in Scripture that prove its truth more directly than the times when the Scripture asserts its truth. Now just come and look at this record, because Abimelech, well, he looks at Sarah, and by the way, she's 99. Well, I mean, after all, at 99. Well, you know, it makes you wonder what was wrong with Abimelech. But that's not the secret. Sarah was going to have a baby next year. And she looked like a young woman who was going to have a baby. All right? Oh, just built into the record, that's all. We pass it by. The beauties of Scripture are like this. But that wasn't the point I was going to really bring you to. We're going to go a little further. It now says in verse 2, "And Abraham said of Sarah his wife, she's my sister. And Abimelech king of Gerar sent and took Sarah. But God came to Abimelech in a dream. He said to him, Behold, thou art but a dead man for the woman which thou hast taken, for she's a man's wife. But Abimelech could not come near her. And he said, Lord, will thou slay also a righteous nation? That's Sodom. That's what he's thought about. Make a very careful note about it. What had happened in Sodom was already tremendously active in the people around. Lord, surely you're not going to destroy me like Sodom. But there's something interesting about Abimelech. You remember we talked about the possibility of the gospel, as it then was, being with other people than Abraham, because obviously it had come from a beginning and had come through Melchizedek, and there were people who knew about the truth. Well, this Abimelech, and sometimes, by the way, Abimelech is just a title like Pharaoh. It doesn't necessarily mean a name, though it can so mean. He's got standards, hasn't he? You see, it was Abram who said, Shall not the judge of all the earth do right? Lord, wilt thou destroy the righteous with the wicked? And when he has this dream, Abimelech speaks to God in God's terms. Doesn't bargain with God any more than Abraham had bargained in the earlier chapter. It wasn't bargaining, but that's another story. He says, Lord, you couldn't destroy a righteous nation. And so in this area, there were righteous people. And God doesn't say about him, well, you're not righteous, Abimelech. Have a look very carefully. Said she not unto me, she's my sister? She even herself said. Well, how beautiful it's stated. So it wasn't only that Abram had said it. She'd said it herself. He'd asked her to say it. He's my brother. In the integrity of my heart and innocence of my hands have I done this. And God said unto him in a dream, Yea, I know that thou didst this in the integrity of thine heart. I also withheld thee from sinning against me. And that's marvellous. And so there was two sides to this. It wasn't merely Sarah being protected and Abraham being protected. It was Abimelech. And those of you who are not yet in the truth, don't take the idea that God doesn't care for you. That there's a kind of brick wall, and on the outside everybody is mad, and on the inside everybody is sane, because this is quite untrue. On the other side of the brick wall are people coming to the gates to come in, who are seeing the light and coming nearer to it. And although Abimelech was not within the great promises made to Abraham, we don't know what his final standing will be. But certainly he had a respect for some of the principles of God. And God respects men who respect him, in whatever degree that is. Maybe it will be only in this life that this respect will be shown. But God had done it here, and he said, you're not going to sin against me. But now the interesting thing, notice in verse 7, it says, Now therefore restore the man's wife, for he's a prophet. Got that? And so Abraham was a prophet. So some of the things that he said were maybe the forthtelling of the good news of God, because that's what the word can mean. The word prophet or prophecy has two meanings. You probably all know this, but I'll repeat it for my benefit. It has two meanings, namely to forthtell, to make it known, and the other is to foretell, to make known beforehand. Right? I think Abraham had both of these things in himself, and you'll see that when we come to the 22nd chapter. So Abimelech was delivered, And Abraham is reproved for a second time. You've nearly brought a great sin on me and my kingdom. They didn't want to be destroyed. It wasn't a sin, the kind of sin they were committing in Sodom. This would have been an inadvertent sin. But for Abimelech, it would have been sin. Let's make a note of that. Once he discovered it, it would have been like a sin under the law of Moses. Once you knew about it, and this is one of the experiences of being baptized, of growing in grace, you sometimes look back on your life when you pick out points that you've never seen before, which, if now with your new spiritual glasses on, you are able to go back, you would never do again. Right? And in a way, I sometimes find myself making a retrospective confession. Let me just explain what I mean by that. It's all gone by now. There were things that, with less spiritual awareness, that I did, and then suddenly a new light's come on it, and I've seen it as it was. And then I had to say to God, Lord, I'm ashamed of that circumstance, with the new light you've given me. Well, let's remember that, because that helps us the next time when we get into the same condition. And so here, Abraham and Abimelech part as good friends. He's got 1,000 pieces of silver as well as a gift. And Abimelech says to Abraham in verse 15 that he can go and dwell just wherever he likes in the land. What an interesting thing. Have you noticed what he says? He doesn't know all the truth. There in verse 15, Abimelech said, "Behold, my land is before thee." Abraham doesn't say anything about the covenant, that it's all God's and will all be his. But he takes of this generosity of Abimelech, and they part. And what's more, he does the work of a priest now. Not only prophet, but priest, because he intercedes for Abimelech and Abimelech's family. Because they couldn't have had any children. Any of Abimelech's family couldn't have had children. Because the Lord had intervened and suspended within them that system of life. And it was only when God heard the prayer of Abraham, who interceded on the behalf of Abimelech, that God restored the natural function. But the 21st chapter leads us into the coming of the birth of Isaac. And so the 22nd chapter. Now, it's our question time, and I'm going to stop there. And the 21st and 22nd chapters will have to follow.